Hey, what's up? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today is Monday, February 19th. It is President's Day, but more important, it is Joey Diaz's birthday. That's right. Joey Coco Diaz turns 55 today. Do yourself a favor right now and go to Twitter and immediately wish this man a happy birthday. Everyone on Twitter and Instagram, wish Joey Diaz a happy birthday. This guy is a superhuman, great friend, funny-ass man, and living the dream of a 55-year-old man out every night doing stand-up. A true soldier, as he would say, a soldier out there in the podcast world, killing it on TV, killing it all over in the game. Happy birthday, Joey Diaz. All right, guys, let's get into it. How are you today? You're off. You're laying around, maybe a little hungover from a three-day weekend. Or maybe you got to work because you got a shitty boss or one of those jobs that doesn't care about President's Day. Whatever. Welcome to the episode today. Great guest today. Incredible guest. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram, but about a month ago, I was wearing a jacket and I put up a photo of it and said, best jacket I've ever owned. And everybody went crazy like, that thing's amazing. What is it? And I posted up, it's made by Ship John. This is a handmade episode. And the reason I wanted to have this man on, which by the way, his name is not Ship John, which I thought it was the whole time. That's his company. His name is Mike Elias. And he owns Ship John. And he makes incredible stuff. We first talked up in Portland about a year ago when I was up there doing comedy. And I found the jacket by random on Instagram. And I was like, holy shit, this is great. But not only does he make jackets, he plays music. He also makes leather goods and all kinds of great stuff. But he hit a home run with this jacket. And you can go to his Instagram and see what I'm talking about. He's a great, great man. And I'm very fired up to have him on. He came down for Inspirations, which was the big clothing show once a year here in L.A., and so I got the chance to have him on. And I'm happy for him. Anybody that works hard with their hands or self-made or, you know, made in America, all that stuff, I'm a sucker for it if it's done well. And this guy hit it out of the park with this jacket. He's got a great story. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Perfect handmade guest is what Mr. Mike Ship John is. A little tired today. Been a crazy week. Just trying to get my head wrapped around some moving bullshit. And I'll fill you in on that more later on once it all plays out. In the meantime, what else is going on? If you live in Indianapolis, and you want to go see L.A. Guns and Hero Jr. on February 28th, my boys Hero Jr. have donated two tickets to the show. And the first person that emails me and says, I tweeted at Joey Diaz, happy birthday, I will give you two tickets. I only have one pair, and my email is DeanDelRay@yahoo.com. So the first person that does that today and you live in Indianapolis, please make sure you don't just do it. Yeah, I live in Oklahoma, but I wanted to be first. Make sure you can go to the show February 28th. That's LA Guns and Hero Jr. That's going to be incredible. What else is happening? Some great donations went down today. My boy Heno, thank you for pledging on Patreon. Patreon.com/DeanDelRay for donations of the podcast. Keeps the wheels greased. Ghost of California, which by the way, was an incredible band that sent me some songs a few days ago. And I listened to it and I was like, wow, this band's fucking great. Ghost of California, check them out. They donated to the podcast. Very cool. Thank you, guys. Few other things, and then we'll get it going here. Saw Queens of the Stone Age Saturday night at the Forum, and I got to tell you, holy shit, they smoked the place down. Queens of the Stone Age. If you have not seen them on this tour, get out there and see this tour. I got to tell you, I've had John Theodore on. I had Josh Homme on. Troy Van Leeuwen. I've had them on the podcast, and they're friends of mine. And I got to tell you, man, they are very, very inspirational. Just out there, just doing art to the fullest tilt. Just delivering a rock show, man. Get out there and see this tour. It was amazing. They brought Mark Ronson on this Forum show and played four songs with him, including Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And Josh Homme killed it on the vocal on that. Incredible time. Bill Burr and I went, and we were just like kids in a candy store, just going like, oh my God, this show is killer. It really was killer. So thank you, Queens, for having us. I can't thank you enough, man. You guys just absolutely killed it. What do I got? Some shows coming up here real quick, and then we'll get to the episode. Let's see here. I will be in Buffalo March 8, 9, and 10 at Helium with Steve Renazzisi. I will also be in New York City from March 11th through the 24th, including the 21st with Joey Diaz in Nyack at, I think it's an improv, but it's up on my website. Check that out. Nashville, I will be with Bill Burr April 20th and 21st, or I think it's 2 days. It might not be. April 20th at, this intro's just kind of hoopty. I'm just all over the board because my brain is just, it's tired, man. But the 20th for sure at the Ryman. April 5 and 6, Joey Diaz and I are coming to New Mexico. That's also on the website, DeanDelRay.com. It's about it right now for shows. I hope everybody has a great day off. Here's something I wanted to talk about. This is hilarious. I wear expensive denim, right? I've been wearing, you know, like great denim for years. People go, oh, that stuff's a lot of money, but it lasts forever. I've been wearing incredible denim, but I've been wearing like fucking $2 underwear, which is funny. I don't know why, but my whole life, like for a long time, I didn't even wear underwear. I was just like rock and roll, free balling, because I'm free balling. I didn't wear underwear forever because I can't stand how it felt, you know? It was just like all constricting and everything. And then I started wearing underwear, I don't know, about 10 years ago. And I never even knew that there was good underwear. I just go get a 3-pack at like fucking Walgreens and put it on and just be like, this sucks. But I thought that's what it was, which is weird because I'm such a clothing freak. But there I am just getting Walmart underwear. But about 2 weeks ago, I was just online and I was like, I'm going to try some good underwear. And I had heard about this underwear, Mac Weldon. I was like, I'm going to try it because they had this whole thing like, yeah, try it. And if you don't like it, we'll give your money back and you can keep them. So I was like, all right, I'll just try it out. And I got a pair. And it was absolutely, I couldn't believe it. I was instantly hooked. I was like, I got to get a couple more pairs. And I threw all my old underwear away, which is hilarious. I'm still at that point in my career that if I bought the wrong underwear, I couldn't just throw it away. I would just be like, well, I fucked up. And I would just wear the underwear and be all uncomfortable in my nice jeans. But I got a pair of this Mack Weldon, and I got to tell you, man, they've got this amazing underwear. It's silver underwear, and it's like it's got this material that eliminates odors. But not only that, it's crazy comfortable. Like, I don't even know I'm wearing underwear. I just love this. And it's funny. It's like, I hit them up like, hey, man, you know, I love your stuff. And I'll give you guys a shout out on the podcast because it's great. I just can't believe how good it is. No more just up your ass or constricting. And they make a pair for, like, if you wear tight jeans like me, I like to go rock and roll. Tight jeans, they make underwear that doesn't just roll up. You know, that's the worst. Like, you're wearing underwear and you got tight jeans on, you could just see a roll. Like, oh, there's your underwear, you know. So they make this great underwear, and they also make great socks. I'm gonna dive into the socks because that's another thing. I just bought shitty socks too. I'd have great jackets, great denim, and great shirts, and then I'd have shit socks and underwear. It made no sense, but I guess being 52 now, I'm like figuring it out. It took me that long to figure out good underwear. Anyway, they got great socks, they got great underwear, shirts, hoodies, and everything. But start with the underwear. That's what I would do right away. And they'll give you a 20% off deal if you use the promo code ROCK, R-O-C-K. So go check it out. Go to their website, MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com. And use the code ROCK and do it. You know, it helps the show. And I believe in the product. Like I said, I never advertise stuff I don't like ever. I get people all the time, hey, you want to advertise? I'm nope. Nope. But this shit is great. No fucking up the ass, no strict, not, you know, strangling the balls, none of that. This stuff is great. Mack Weldon underwear. Get it. MackWeldon.com. Use the code ROCK. But right now, enjoy this amazing handmade episode with my man, Ship John. All right, another episode of Let There Be Talk. This will be a handmade edition, and well, we got a fantastic guest today, which is very funny because the entire time that I've been talking about your product, I've called you Ship John. Never knew your name wasn't John. I just thought it was Ship John. Introduce yourself.
My name is Mike Elias. I run Ship John.
Isn't that hilarious, though? Because, like, I'm talking to people, I go, yeah, I was talking to Ship John a couple days ago, and they're like, Ship John, that's hilarious. That's not his name. People would tell me that. I go, how can it not be his name? It's such a great name.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I mean, a lot of people call me that, and it's kind of turned into a, like, I just answer to it now. I'm kind of John now.
Yeah. Now, we're going to get all into what you do and everything, but why did you call your company Ship John?
So I grew up in New Jersey in a little town called Divide and Creek.
Yeah.
It's way South Jersey, middle of nowhere. My dad's an oysterman, and my first job was on the oyster boats in Delaware Bay. And there's this beautiful fucking lighthouse right in the middle of the bay. It's called Ship John Shoal. And I had to rename my business. It used to be called Tomahawk, and there were some issues with somebody else owned the rights to that.
And it was called Tomahawk?
Yeah, Tomahawk Portland was what it was called.
Wow.
For the first, like, 8 years of me doing this.
I love that word, Tomahawk.
It's a great word.
It really is.
It just rang, you know.
Another great word, and I always wanted to call my band this, was Canteen.
Canteen's a great word.
Fucking love that word because it was two things. Canteen reminds me of the old aluminum ones with the Mexican blanket on them. Uh-huh. That's a sick canteen. And when I was young going to Boys Club camp, canteen was where you bought candy and like sodas and stuff. Gotcha. Hey, I'm going to the canteen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's such a fucking cool. I should call my comedy record Canteen.
You should.
For no reason. They're like, why is it called Canteen?
I like that word.
Tomahawk Canteen.
Tomahawk Canteen.
Wow. So you call it. So
it was Tomahawk, and then, like I said, some trademark issues went down, and I had to rename it. And I already had this lighthouse tattooed on my arm.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking at it one day. My buddy Kyler put it on there, and it's like, I've always loved it. It's a beautiful piece of architecture.
Yeah.
It's like an ode to it's like my Hickory Wind looking back to New Jersey. And
yeah, that's right, because I love things. Like, to me, I really think of classic things where I'm from, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
You know, architecture and Alcatraz, man,
yeah.
As evil as what was happening on there, the evil that it held in, yeah. The beauty of it too, which was the torture of the inmates, I guess. It was to torture them, like, here you are in this rock, yeah, looking at beauty. But to me, I was like, well, if that's the prison you're going to be in, that would be the one.
Yeah.
Beautiful sea air, yeah, and stuff.
Marin on the other side, looking all pretty over there.
But lighthouses are amazing. There's one down in the bottom of the Baja down at Cabo.
Gotcha.
It's an old abandoned lighthouse. And lighthouses remind me of stuff like Jaws, and that movie, The Birds,
stuff
like that. You know, lighthouses are pretty amazing.
They always feel kind of desolate. You know, they're out there on their own.
And there's something about a guy working in one.
Yeah, totally.
Living there with his family.
Dude, there's one up in Oregon called Tillamook Rock.
Yeah.
And I think it's a mile
Tillamook Rock, yeah.
It's insane. I've read some stories about them building that. They lost a lot of workers building that. I don't know the numbers, but it was...
Yeah.
You know, it's in the middle of the Pacific, and it's just this rock out there. There's pictures of it with waves crashing over the top of it and shit. It's,
I mean, people lived in those, like, yeah, and they would have families, and that was their life. They ran the lighthouse the so keepers. Ships wouldn't crash.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty rad, man. Ship John, and then how about, so it's just named it straight off of Ship John Lighthouse?
Ship John Shoal, it's called, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow.
It's just, I've always loved that thing. I would sit on the oyster boat rocking, picking oysters, and staring at this lighthouse, and, you know, just kind of seared into my brain as a cool thing.
Picking oysters, is that a hard job?
Yeah, it was hard, 14-hour days. A lot of it's like, you know, a two-hour ride out in the boat, and then out there we would dredge them, so big old dredges
with
the side.
Net
it's like a cage,
right?
Dredge.
And it goes through the mud, like it scrapes the mud,
scrapes
and then you
the
pull it up and the mud drops out, and there they are.
Yep. And then they dump into a hopper, and my job, I just stood at the conveyor belt and picked the good ones out, threw them in a basket. And
that's what your dad did?
Yeah, he still does it.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
He still works on the boats.
Wow, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Is it a good living? How do you get paid? Like so many oysters per pound?
That's how the company makes its money. As a deckhand, I think I made $125 a day or something like that.
And that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Back then,
when I was 18, 17, when I was doing it, maybe a little younger.
But 14-hour days, brutal.
Yeah, you got to get up 2:30, 3 in the morning, and they call it in the wintertime, they call it working can't can't.
Really?
You can't see when you're going out. You can't see when you're coming in.
Working you go out can't the dark. Can't. I love those old school, old guys talking, you know, like spinning yarn.
Yep.
This guy's been spinning yarn for years, or five knots, you know, all that kind of fucking, you know, there's so many old.
That's why Ship John rings to me in that way. It's like this, it's kind of a weird, the words sound kind of weird together, but they work together in that kind of old school way, I think.
Yeah. You grew up in Jersey. How old are you?
I'm 36.
36. Yeah. It's funny because you look a lot like a buddy of mine that's from Jersey. Almost identical,
really?
Man. Yeah. And I feel like Jersey people, a lot of them have a look.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like almost like oh, this guy's from Jersey for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. Where I'm from in Jersey it's not Joysy. It's south. It's pretty much Alabama down there.
Really?
I mean,
it's down at the bottom. I got you.
Yeah, there used to be a stoplight in the town next to mine, and they took it out.
Really?
there was a gas station shut down. It's the middle of nowhere, you know. I grew up riding dirt bikes out there, and I could ride trails for hours and not.
How many people, population?
I mean, the town itself, Dividing Creek, has maybe 1,000, 1,500.
So is it kind of hicky or something?
Oh,
like
it's
just
really hicky. Yeah, it's
and
really
what's there? What's there for money besides the? Do they all dredge for oysters?
It's a fishing village, Port Norris and Dividing Creek. That's the main income, and then they dredge a lot of sand there too. The soil is really sandy, so that, you know, there's a lot of glass factories that have been there forever, and there's bigger towns kind of close by, but
right.
There ain't much down there, honestly.
What's the big city next to you, like the closest?
Philly is about an hour away, but in between there's little towns like Millville and Vineland that are, you know, not any city to speak of or that anybody has ever gone to.
you definitely have like a kind of a rock and roll look. Did you grow up on rock and roll?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up stealing my dad's Led Zeppelin tapes and shit like that.
Yeah.
And my first tapes were Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And some AC/DC and shit like that. Then I got into country music and then went through a bunch of random punk stuff growing up. My first show I ever went to was Sick of It All in H2O.
Oh, wow. Sick of It All.
Yeah, my brother was in the hardcore, so he brought me when I was like a 14-year-old, just getting thrown around in the pit and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went through that kind of hardcore time, and now I'm into country music.
Yeah, who are you into? Like new or you like
old stuff? I mean, there's some new stuff.
Like Nikki Lane.
Nikki Lane's great. Rock, yeah,
great.
I played a show with her a couple times.
So. Oh, you play music?
Yeah, yeah, I play in a country band.
Oh, rad.
Yeah.
And what are you guys called?
Denver.
What?
Denver, like the city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a great name.
Just kind of
Denver Canteen.
Denver Canteen. that's the next album.
We got and do you guys play covers or you write your own music?
Write our own music, yeah. And some covers, too. We play some Billy Joe Shaver songs. And,
oh, sick. You know, Lucinda Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had Kenny Vaughn on.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Awesome. That guy could. What do you play, guitar?
Play guitar and sing.
Yeah, he tore it up on, he tears it up on the telly, dude. Kenny Vaughn, if you don't know him, check him out. He's out with Marty Stewart right now.
Oh shit.
And that new Marty Stewart, well, he's played with Marty Stewart since 2002, but you know, he played with Lucinda Williams before that, and if you don't know him, man, you gotta check that guy out.
I will, definitely.
But that Marty Stewart record's great, and you know, there's something about country, like really good, authentic country that I just absolutely love. And when people say, I love all music but country.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
Well, that's just stupid, you know. It's just like, well, you are, we're not going to get along. Yeah. That's a good barometer.
I usually give people who say that, you know, I've come across people who have that mentality. And
is that a Waylon Jennings hat?
Yeah, I made that a long time ago, and I wear it every day.
Oh, that's fucking great. Hat. Had Shooter Jennings on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. He's good.
But
I'll give those people like a Blaze Foley album or something like that. Some old, like something that's easy, just good songwriting, good vocals, and or Towns Van Zandt. You know, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Towns Van Zandt. That's hip. Do you play a telly?
I play a Martin. I play acoustic.
Oh, acoustic, rad.
I have a telly, but I suck at
what rhythm. Martin?
D18.
Oh, D18, great. Rosewood.
Rosewood.
To me, D18 and
Mahogany.
Mahogany. Yeah. But D18 and J45 are both Mahogany. And those are, they seem to have just this golden brown sound, you know? I love the D18 Golden Era. It came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking great, man.
You know, I was at Guitar Center yesterday, or 2 days ago in Hollywood, and there were some 50s D18s in there that I was just drooling over.
D18s, you know, also with acoustics, you know, that's why I would never buy an acoustic online, man.
Yeah, you got to play it.
You can play 20 D18s and 20 J45s, and they all sound different.
Yeah.
You know, I had a J45 that was an absolute cannon.
Yeah.
You know, you just strummed it. And recently, last week, I went to go play a Martin. I really wanted a Martin small body, like the Joan Baez.
Yeah.
042.
Uh-huh.
you know, or like John Mayer has one out now, the Stagecoach. They're just these small kind of par with the slotted headstock and the abalone. I was like, God, get one good one would be cool. And I was playing, I was like, this is really good. And then they had a 40s banner, J45 there, a real one. Yeah. I picked it up and strummed that. I was like, oh, yeah, well, fuck everything else.
Yeah,
it was 10 grand. I didn't leave with it, but it made me think, like, Don't get a part-time acoustic, you know. Get one that's just fucking great.
I'll tell you the story how I got mine, man. I just happened to pop onto Craigslist one day, and this dude wanted to trade it for a backpacker.
No way!
He was the backpacker.
Like, I gave one of those away.
Dude, I called him. I must have called it right away, and I called him. I was like, I got one. So I went to the store.
Did you have one? Oh yeah, you went and bought one. Yeah.
$250 or whatever.
Oh.
And I drove out. This is like an hour outside of Portland. I drove out there, opened the door. This dude he was the sketchiest dude I ever saw in my fucking life.
Yeah.
There's this old lady sitting at the table, just staring straight ahead, eating spaghetti off a styrofoam plate. And he's got a steak knife in his back pocket. And I walk in, I see the guitar sitting over there.
Yeah.
And I have the brand new, you know, steel tags hanging off of the backpacker. And I walk in. He invites me for spaghetti. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just trying to get this guitar.
Yeah, that's some serial killer shit right there. Sit down for your last meal. Yeah.
I felt like, you know, I've been in some scary situations, but this is like weird scary.
Yeah.
You know? And the guitar was over there. It was missing a string. It had broken on the headstock. So it's got this awesome, I love the crack. It's like crack kind of down the headstock. And I go over there, tuned it up a little bit, played it. He pulled the backpacker out. It was not in tune, and he's strumming it. He had no idea what the fuck he was doing.
Right.
And he's like, is this cool? And I'm like, yeah, dude, is this fucking cool with you? And he invites me for spaghetti again. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just trying to get this guitar and get out of there. And I'm heading toward the door. We shook hands on it, and I'm heading out, and he's like, man, I'm fucking loving you right now.
What?
I'm fucking loving you. And he goes in for a hug, and I tapped on the back, get the fuck out of there.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, threw the thing in my car and drove a couple miles down the road, pulled over, and like finally had to look at it.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's the best guitar I've ever played.
What year?
It's a 73, I think.
You get the headstock fixed?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, headstock's all good. It's still got the crack, but I love it. It's like right through the Martin logo.
The crack just reminds you of the crack he wanted, yours.
He said I thought maybe it was stolen, but he had a bunch of stories about it. He said he dropped it into a campfire, and
man.
That's how the crack happened.
I have a similar story about buying something. I was buying a turntable, a vintage, I forget the name now. I went to this guy's house in Topanga where all the hippies live. Yeah. It was down one of these long dirt roads. I was like, where is this? And I pull up and it's just a trailer on someone's property, you know?
Yeah.
Just an old crusty trailer. And same similar thing. Walk up like, this is some Chainsaw Massacre shit, you know? And I knock on the thing, and the guy opens it up. He's like, yeah, you here for the turntable? He was old, like maybe 70, and he had a big machete, like right at the front door, like a real old school machete with the fucking black handle.
You're on high alert.
And I walk in, and the place stinks like cigarettes, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God, like really bad. And he was just like, you know, like an old school weirdo, just a hoarder and everything. So I grab the turntable, I pay him, and I go, thanks. And we put it in the car, and we get about a mile down the road, and we had to pull over and put it in the trunk. It smelt like cigarettes.
Shit.
Then when I got home, I put it in my garage for like a month to try to air it out.
Yeah.
It wouldn't air out. Then I got some, it was wood, so I got some the pine, like a lemon pledge.
Yeah.
And put that on to try to soak up the smell. And finally, I just had to sell it.
Yeah.
It just smelled like fucking cigarettes.
Yeah. You can't get that smell out. I hate it. I smoke, and I fucking hate the smell of it.
Yeah. You think you'll ever quit smoking?
I'm trying. This year's my year, man. I got to let it go.
It's fucking brutal.
I don't even like it. You know, I'm just purely addiction. I just
pop
them in just because I'm my body's addicted.
Yeah. It's just maintenance now.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate it. But yeah, I'm going to try to quit this year.
Yeah, I didn't like, when I quit smoking, by the time I quit, it was a lot like candy. I like the one in the morning and the one after you eat or whatever, but all the other ones were just gross all day.
That's how I feel about it, man.
Yeah, that's how candy was. I love like the first few bites and then like 10, you know, a bag of gummy fish, Swedish fish or something later. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get into it. So you start this company, and I'm going to tell everybody what it is. It's Ship John Leather Canvas Denim Design, and you make incredible stuff. You make bags, you make denim shirts, you do collabs with Westco on boots, but really what really sets you explosive was this jacket that you came up with that just set the internet and Instagram on fire. And I remember seeing it by, you know, on Instagram, you have those interest section called interest. Uh-huh. So, of course, Instagram knows I love denim and boots and everything. And this jacket comes up one day, which is called the, what's it called? The
Wills jacket.
The Wills
named
jacket.
Bob Wills.
Bob Wills.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I see it and I go, oh, I got to fucking have one of those. Yeah. Of course, I email you and you go, oh, yeah, well, there are none. And I was like, what do you mean there are none?
Well, you called me first.
Oh, I called
Chris
you.
Chris hooked you.
I called you.
Hanging out with Chris.
Oh, yeah, because I was in Portland doing shows, and your company's in Portland. And I said, oh, I want one of those. And Chris at Westco goes, oh, I know the guy. Let's call him. And we called you at like 11 at night or whatever.
Yeah.
And you go, there are none. And I was like, what? And you go, well, I'm kind of in between getting it going. Let's talk about how you come up with this and how far into your company until you come up with it. Now, your company starts as what?
Back to the beginning. I started 11 years ago. I moved to Portland almost 12 years now. And I start making cycling hats. I was into bikes and started sewing wool because you couldn't find them with no prints on the side or anything.
Mean like those breaking away?
Yeah, little short bills.
Yeah,
So I just started. That was me kind of teaching myself how to sew, and I had made a couple like little leather things, and from there, cycling hats turned into bags for bikes because I was working at a bicycle frame builder in Portland.
Who was it?
Called Vanilla Bicycles.
Oh, okay.
Custom beautiful.
And were you racing?
Nah, I mean, I did a couple cycle cross races. I cycling was always a part. I was a bike messenger in Philadelphia for a long time.
Right.
And so I just kind of always rode.
Kind of that fixie thing that was really hot like 10 years ago.
Yeah. This was before it got real blown up when I was doing it. But yeah, I rode a fixed gear bike around.
Right.
I don't own one anymore, but, so, you know, cycling, I started making bags for bikes, and then with the bags came like heavy canvas and leather straps. So I started learning how to work with leather and
to tie them onto the bikes.
Yeah, and close the bag and things, you know,
right.
Just all kinds of little leather bits and doohickeys. And so from there, I started messing around with different leather stuff, wallets and backpacks. I started designing backpacks and
kind of that standard stuff a lot of guys make by hand.
Yeah, for sure.
Guitar straps, like you said, backpacks, credit card holders,
all that
stuff.
So I'm doing that, and then I was making these backpacks out of this really heavy twill, that the wax twill that I make the jackets out of, and I was like, God. I was also a stonemason at the time, so I would just destroy clothing, you know, completely destroy it. And I just thought that it might be a good idea to make a really thick jacket, you know, so it didn't get holes in it and break, you know,
right.
Something that would hold up. And I tried it, made one day and it worked. It's armor. The shit is,
was it pretty, pretty raw, like almost a welder's coat, you know, when it, like design wise, when you first did it, like,
yeah,
it wasn't cool looking, was it?
It looks a lot like it did today. Like the pockets are a little smaller and things like that. It didn't have a zipper originally. It was just snaps on the front.
Right.
How'd
you do that? Did you just cut a pattern from an old jacket you had?
I had a couple jackets, and instead of taking things. I took what not to do, what failed on other jackets. I won't mention any names of brands, but right. Like, I had a couple jackets where there were chain stitch down the front and all that. You know, you rip one part of the chain stitch and the whole thing comes out.
So, right.
And the way cuffs are attached, you know, I had cuffs falling off of jackets and stuff like that. So I re-engineered it in a way to where I thought it wouldn't work. I built it like I built bags, you know. I just kind of right. heavy seams and I'm not trained in garment sewing, so I built it from what I knew from making leather and bags.
Right,
leather
right.
Stuff in bags. So, and it worked. You know, I wore the first one for about a year, and
it looked pretty similar to the one I'm wearing now.
Yeah, pretty similar. The pocket shapes are the same. I mean, it's a
pretty standard jacket. Yeah. I mean, growing up in the Bay Area, I had a similar jacket by Ben Davis.
Okay,
yeah. It was the long kind of black one. Yeah. It had the pockets. As a matter of fact, I just gave it to someone recently because it was like way too big for me now. But I had it for years. Had a kind of a Mexican blanket liner. Yeah. And that's kind of a standard kind of design. But
yeah, I mean it's a chore coat, you know, that's what it comes down to. But you know, I added the zipper and the placket, which kind of changes a little bit. The material thickness is what really I think makes the jacket what it is.
Now, when of course you're saying you're a mason, you were doing that mason work.
Yeah, stonemason.
Stonemason.
Dry stack rock walls and shit.
So when you decide on the material, it was just the stuff you had left over from the bag.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now how did you source out that material? Because it's what is it, 20 ounce?
It's 18 ounce, and then after it's waxed, I think it's 23 ounces.
So is it called tin cloth, or is that something Philson named
Well,
it?
So this stuff is, I get it from, funny enough, the town I went to high school in New Jersey, Bridgeton, New Jersey. This is where they do all the waxing. And Fairfield Textiles, what it's called, and they've been doing that fabric. Philson used to use this company
right
back. So it's the same, kind of the same as tin cloth, but this is a twill. Tin cloth is a duck weave, you know, straight.
Oh, it's a duck weave. Yeah. And what's the difference? Just how it's put together?
Yeah, the looms. This is essentially the same as denim. Denim's a twill.
Oh, wow. So it's done on a loom.
Yeah.
And tin cloth is done what? Like
it's still done on the loom, but it's
just different.
So, yeah, the way that the yarns pass over each other are made different, you know.
So it comes already waxed when you buy it, right? Yeah. And so what they're doing is they're making like massive yards of it and then have a machine that waxes it.
It goes through vats. I've been to the factory.
Oh, wow.
It's like giant rolls, and then they roll through vats of hot wax, and then it impregnates the wax in there. And
wow.
Comes out the other side, and it's waxed.
I tell you, a friend of mine, I won't mention his name because he'll be like, oh, dude. But he hates work and waxed products. You know what I mean? He's like, it's such a thing. And I'm like, yeah. That's why it's fucking good, man. Yeah. It's rad. It's bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's the thing I always hated about workwear, which I absolutely love, was the fit. It was always like way too, and like you said, you work in yours. Yeah. I get it. But I think that there's a, and this is what I really believe, there's a, and I would love to collab with you because there's a world out there of people that love slim fitting clothes. Yeah. And it might not be that big of a world, but they never buy Ben Davis.
Yeah.
Even Ben Davis has recently tried to pick it up a little. Uh-huh. They've got like a slim pant now.
Gotcha.
Because the, you know, that kind of baggy workwear, because you're working in it, I get you, you got to move. But if you love,
I have a theory about that too. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So when I work in something,
yeah,
there's a balance. Like I don't want extra fabric hanging around,
right?
You know, but you also need to be able to move. Like these jeans are, they're not baggy, but they're not completely slim fit,
right?
So you need there's the balance of needing to be able to move enough, but no excess shit. You know, I don't like excess big baggy shit hanging around because it gets in the way.
Yeah, it does when you're working. But what I think is great is if like what I loved about the jacket when I got it is like you sent me a small, and it's small. Most people would have said that fits you perfect. Yeah. It's a problem I always have with people when they're trying to sell you something. Yeah. They think, well, that you can move around it. I love this one. You can bundle up. You know, you can layer.
Yeah, layer in.
And I go, okay, look here. I don't fucking layer. Yeah. I live in LA. And when I'm hot blooded too. Like, I don't like a bunch of shit on me. Gotcha. I like stuff to just one piece and a t-shirt. They'll say stuff like that. Or when you're young, well, you'll grow into it. You know, they're just trying to sell shit to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. But what I liked was I tried the small and you sent me the extra small. And man, it was a perfect rock and roll fit. Yeah, and you could tell that there's a world out there on your Instagram when they saw the photo. Yeah. A lot of people were like, that's the fucking fit.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's almost like you could tell people, look, this guy wore a small or extra small. Yeah. You can get the idea. If you like a little room, you go small. If you like rock and roll, yeah. Then you go extra small.
Size down. I kind of explained that in the new size chart. I tried to, like, in my head, redesign the way that you look at a size chart. And
right.
I tried to put it into words and some like, illustrations so you can actually look at a body. And I explained that a little bit. I can't remember exactly what it says. But, you know, if you like a tighter fit, size down. If
right.
If you want to layer it, you want to throw stuff under
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 right. Yeah, that's kind of like what Shot does now.
Yeah.
They're like, look, if you like rock and roll, get one size down.
Yeah.
So you put together the jacket. And you're kind of wearing it while you're working. Yeah. And what happens? Does somebody come up and go, I fucking love that?
Oh, people started losing their shit over
it. So, like, what, you just put it up on Instagram or were you wearing it around? How long ago was this?
Little, what's that?
How long ago was this?
Probably almost 3 years ago.
So, so you're wearing it around and people are like, hey, man, I love that.
Yeah. That, you know, it's crazy how many people, like, stop me on the street and that. It just... Not even that know about the jacket, that just like the jacket the way it looks.
Right.
Ask me where I got it, and I'll chat about it and shit. I'm wearing it around, trying it out. I wanted to make sure it you know, the construction would hold up. And it's changed. The ins and outs of the construction have changed a bunch since the first one. Like, we added the back pleats. And
they're kind of pleats for looks, though, right?
Well, no, they extend the pattern a little bit.
Right.
We're going to deepen that in the pattern a little bit.
I don't like pleats. So because what happens with me, and I just talked to somebody about this last night with a Buco J24 jacket. Yeah. It has the gussets.
Yeah.
Yours are kind of like a pleat. It's not an actual gusset.
Yeah.
But once you get to a gusset, if you're a wide-shouldered guy or something, they stay blown out.
Yeah.
And then the jacket looks like it doesn't fit you.
Gotcha.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Because the gussets stay blown out.
Uh-huh.
Where a gusset is great, it's made so when you move, it opens the back and you got movement. And then when you go back, it closes. But if you got a wide shoulder, it stays open all the time and it looks like an accordion.
Yeah.
So I was really worried when I got the jacket, like, oh, fuck, it's got gussets. And then when it came, I go, oh, cool. They are just kind of like semi for looks.
Yeah, it's a style thing, but it does extend the pattern back there. So you can move it because the fabric's so thick, it just needed a little bit more room back there.
I don't think that the fabric is that hard to fuck with, you know, like as far as movement. Like you're like, it's really stiff. But I've had some fucking 4 and 5 ounce leather jackets made of horsehide that would make that thing feel like a kung fu outfit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like ones where you're actually your shoulder blades and your armpits and your neck start hurting because
you're saying you couldn't get the mic up to your
I couldn't get the mic. But eventually once it breaks in, it's great. Yeah. You can get the mic up to your face, but you get these leather jackets that are like so thick and not broken at all. And you're like, oh, and some denim. My buddy just bought some denim recently and he goes, fuck, I can't even sit in my car in these. Yeah. When do they break in? And I'm like, they break in eventually. And when they do, they're amazing. He's like, you keep saying that, but fucking they suck, you know? And sometimes the people can't handle a break in.
Yeah. 16 ounce denim is perfect.
Yeah, 16 is a great denim, you know.
It holds up for a long time and it doesn't have that crazy break-in time. Still takes a little bit, but
yeah. I mean, remember when like I think like Naked or Famous, someone had a 30-ounce denim, yeah. and it's just sat up in the corner. Remember that?
Yep, yep. That's novelty at that point, you know.
I was really into 21-ounce Ironhearts for a long time, but then I realized, you know, I'm on airplanes a lot, yeah. and, you know, you're just sitting there like, my balls, you yeah. know, everything's yes. crunched.
Yep.
So you get the jacket up and going, you put it on Instagram, and people start to lose their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're just a one-man operation at the time. You're in yeah. Portland, and you're yeah. in that shop. Is that shop? I love photos of your shop.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building. I love that space. So I'm in there trying to make them myself, and I went through, and I'm self-funded. Like I had no money to speak of. You know, trying to buy a sewing machine was like next to impossible to replace one if something happened, you know. And
are you working a job at the same time you're making this shit?
At that point, I was doing the stonemasonry.
Right.
I worked at a bar too.
So you're just hustling in Portland.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this jacket. How many people at first hit you up? Like a couple people, like, hey, can you make me one?
And
you
go, yeah. Pre-orders, and I think it was 20 people, and half of it was friends, and
yeah,
and couple random people from the internet world and that sort of thing.
So 20 people. So
in trying to make those 20 jackets, I'm still teaching myself how to make jackets.
Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't get one of the first 20. Yeah. Hey, my arm's kind of smaller than the other one.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So machine's breaking.
I'm all self-taught. You know, through the 10 years or 11 years I've been doing this.
And the sewing machine's breaking because the cloth is so thick, right?
Yeah, so I had to get a new hook for it. And then I bought a new sewing machine thanks to a big job I had doing a leather-wrapped handrail on a boat. So that
what's that?
I did a leather-wrapped on a spiral staircase in a yacht. I did sewed on leather onto the handrail, and that was the first money I had, you know.
Wow.
I could buy a new sewing machine now.
Did somebody find you to do that?
Yeah, they just asking around for leather workers, and ended up they build these yachts in Vancouver. They're beautiful. Everything's handmade, you know. They mold the hull there. It's 130 foot. They mold it right there.
Whoa.
And then they have a metal shop. They build all the fixtures and all that shit. This thing had TVs that came out of the walls and shit like that.
Wow. And so you wrapped the whole stairway in leather?
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
That's sick.
The staircase was glass. You could see right through it.
Wow.
Spiral staircase. This is on a boat.
You know? I always wanted a leather floor at my house.
That'd be badass.
You know what I mean? Like a brown leather floor. Yeah. Like thick leather. It would hold up.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be cool. I got so many scraps, I could probably build you one.
It'd be great, right? So,
I did that job, got some money, got a new sewing machine, had problems with that off the back, so that I had to get tuned up for sewing that fabric there. And
are you calling the company in Jersey, like, hey, how do people sew this?
No, I mean, I had sewn it. I'd used it for bags for a long time, so I knew how to use it and sew it. And it was just adapting those skills to a three-dimensional object, a jacket, you know.
Right.
It's not just a square bag anymore. It's got sleeves and it's got to fit on a body. Yeah, and then...
How do you figure out sizes for people? So you got 20 orders.
So I took measurements of all the first 20, and yeah. they were all custom-made to fit. And that was a struggle for me, because trying to figure out how much bigger to make it with that fabric.
Right.
And everybody wants to fit different. You like it snug.
Yep.
This guy wants to put sweaters under it and shit like that. So,
yeah.
So they were all... I measured everybody's body or had them send measurements, and then... realized that was fucking crazy trying to do that.
Yeah. Because you're just looking at it like, okay, the guy's arm is 27.
Yeah.
Oh, but his chest is 44, but he's 8 feet tall. Like, yeah. It's just nuts, right?
And I realized in going through that, everybody kind of fits into a size category. So
yeah.
I just, with the help of Stephen Hurd, who's my new partner in Will's Manufacturing, which is the new venture that we're doing, I'll tell you about. We graded out the pattern and created sizes, and then we do a regular and a long version in every size. So that kind of covers all the bases.
Right.
Much.
Yeah, because you can ask most people, hey, what size do you jacket do you wear usually?
Yeah.
Like a suit and then a leather jacket, and you can kind of understand.
Yeah, you fit them in a category.
Yeah. So you make the first 20. Did you get them all out?
Yeah, they're all out, yeah.
How long did it take
you? Oh, it was like a year and a half.
Whoa!
Because yeah, I was still figuring shit out, like sewing machine breakdowns. All. I don't have a mechanic that can, like, so I'd wait a week for a mechanic to come and then realize it wasn't working still, and then another week would go by, and just time just kept going by.
On the sewing machine?
Yeah, sewing machines, and then finally I bought the new one, and everything was good, and then...
What kind of machine you use for this kind of stuff? Singer home machine?
Yeah, no. Ah. Juki 1541 does a lot of the work, and working with Steven now, he's got a full shop of, like, you know, flat filament machines and Union Specials, and yeah, it's got to be a compound walking foot or a needle feed to be able to go over that fabric,
right?
For a lot of the part.
So once you get the 20 out, are you kind of like, fuck it, or do you say, okay, let's make some more, and you put it on Instagram like for sale?
Yeah, they went really quick. The next run I did sold out in literal seconds. You know, it was gone, and I kind of fucked up with the one of the runs. I opened it up and I couldn't limit the inventory.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know what size
right
we were gonna order, and we were trying to take an order for 20 jackets.
Yeah,
the website froze, and by the time it came back up, there were 50 orders in there. I was like, holy shit, what are we gonna do, you know?
Yeah,
but we honored it and made those 50 jackets, and
that was like the following year.
Yeah, that was the following year.
So you start, you do 20.
Yeah.
Then you do 50.
Yeah.
And then you say, fuck it, I need a partner now.
Yep.
So how do you seek that out?
So Stephen Hurd, we were doing jeans together.
Mm-hmm. He's in San Francisco.
He helped me out with the pattern grading and sewing. He's in San Francisco. He's a pattern fucking genius, man.
Really?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's been doing this work for like 25 years or something like that. In workwear and denim and that sort of thing. So yeah, we just start bullshitting, talking. He's helped me out, and we're becoming friends. And then at a certain point, I'm like, man, it'd be fucking cool if you just lived here in Portland. And he's been in San Francisco his whole life. And we laughed about it, and then we stopped laughing. We're like, oh shit, this would actually work. You know, we could
put
a factory up here and make a lot of these jackets. So, you know, the laughs turned into serious talks. And now come March, we're getting a new shop, and he's moving up. He already got an apartment up there, and... we're doing it up, making a factory.
So you're going to be making the jackets full time with more employees. How many employees?
There'll be four of us.
Four of you?
Yeah.
And you guys are just all day just making these?
Pretty much.
Have you ever thought about having like somebody in Japan just make them?
Well, I want to oversee it. I'm a picky motherfucker.
Did you fly to Japan?
I haven't been to Japan. I actually just got my passport.
Oh, wow.
Never had a passport.
But I mean, has anybody approached you, like say Ironheart or you know, Strike Gold or somebody like, hey, let's partner up and we can make like 100 a week or something?
I kind of want to do it myself.
That's great. That's great. I'm just asking because you were telling me last night that you got 3,300 orders now, right?
Well, there's 3,300 people on the waiting, on kind of the interested list. So
right.
It's a mailing list. That when I open up orders, I let that mailing list know, and then they go ape shit and get them, which is awesome. I'm so thankful that the interest is that it's.
And now they leave a deposit, and you know it's real, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny I love the obsession for this jacket, because I love people's passion. As you're here right now for this weekend, which is the Inspiration LA. Which I've talked about it for 5 years now.
Yeah, it's
a humongous thing put on by Rin Tanaka of vintage clothing. And I always love it because you're going to get a guy who's dressed from 1952. You're going to get a guy in there dressed from 77.
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to get a guy who's dressed like me, rock and roll. Yeah. It's people that have a passion for well-made, handmade items and stuff that they like to look good when they leave the house. They like to, this is who I am.
Yep.
If I'm from 1976, But it's 2018. Fuck yeah, man. Yep. That's who I am. Because cool. In that world of, I always call it the cotton docker world. Of course, people, that's not so true now. But in the world of where people just run into a Gap and throw shit on, this yeah. is what I wear, yeah. and they don't care. That's cool or whatever. But you just look like a civilian in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
When I see you walking down the street, or if you see me walking, or somebody from Inspiration, yeah. you go, oh, you mean you look, oh, great boots,
yeah,
killer totally. Ring, cool watch,
yeah.
rad pants, whatever. And, you know, the passion of well-made, handmade items is just incredible at yeah. Inspiration.
Oh, it's so cool, man.
I mean, it really is.
That's actually, I went to Inspiration, I think it's 3 years ago now, and that's where I met Josh
from right.
Good Art. And talk about Inspiration. I mean, God damn, everything that they do over there inspires the hell out of me.
And yeah.
Good Art's amazing. So that, you know, and met a lot of other good friends through this show. And
well, the people are incredible at yeah. this. Like, we went to this party last night at Good Art.
Yeah.
And all the people, I was just like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
You know, you're just hanging with people and everyone's into, you know, they're always going to be into good music,
yep,
some
sure.
good film, some electronics, some, you know, stereo hi-fi yep. gear. The yep. sky's the limit on it. Old totally. Cars, yep. maybe Porsche 911s, you know, whatever. Yep. It's rad. And to see people wearing stuff. Anyway, my point is, the passion for your jacket is so incredible that when one time on Instagram, I was fucking with you because you and I are friends. And yeah. I said, hey, where the hell's mine at? And then that fucking asshole was like, hey, man, why don't you just chill out, dude? Like, we're all here waiting and he's making them as yeah. fast as he can. He started going off. And I just
that
wrote,
cracked me up.
Remember I wrote, relax.
Yeah.
But
well, it's cool because... Yeah, that kind of
I'm cool on that. That's what I'm saying. The passion is yeah. incredible.
Well, that happened. People started to have my back because people were pissed off when they couldn't get it. Because I can only open up so many. I don't want to bog us down. You know, you can't
right.
you can't sell 300 jackets and then not sell more jackets for a year. You know,
right.
it's you're gonna look like you're a closed business.
Yeah,
they're. I mean, it's kind of how it is right now. It's always sold out on the website, and people are like, how can I get this? So, so people are getting mad at me because
yeah.
they couldn't get jackets. I got, like, hate emails and
are you,
comments.
Are you afraid of someone just saying, fuck it, we'll just steal this guy's shit and make him ourselves?
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want that to happen, but I'm
right.
not scared of it.
I'm just wondering because you know how people are like, we'll just buy one. We'll just cut it open yeah. and start making our own. We yeah. can make like 100 a week,
yeah.
you know? But still, yeah, it wouldn't be the real deal. You
yeah.
know, it's like, I think the exclusiveness and the hard to get also is what makes it so cool.
Yeah, for sure. And that was like, that was definitely not by design. It was by
yeah.
necessity. I'm trying to figure this out, figure out how to run a business, figure out how to exist in this world, you know? And, I think it did, though. I think, you know, people want it because they can't have it, you know,
yeah.
and that's a pretty big part of it. But I'm trying to change that, trying to make more.
Once you get up and running,
yeah.
I'm going to be ready to do some modifications on it.
All right, we'll talk about it.
For the ultimate, the Delray model.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'd be cool.
I love mine. I've worn it every day. It's crazy because even comedians that aren't even really into that stuff... Yeah. We're commenting on the photo like, holy shit, that's a rad jacket. Where do I get
it? Emails from, I don't know how many of your buds, like, yeah, but Dean's got the jacket. How to get one? I'm like trying to explain to him, like,
yeah,
I'm getting there. Like, I'll more soon.
Yeah, you know? Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's cool, man.
Hell yeah, man. Because it really is. It's such a fucking great jacket because it's not leather. It's not denim.
Yeah.
And I always liked those tin cloth jackets. But they were boxy and square.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, I remember I had bought, and I love Filson. I had bought a Filson, I think it was called like the Cycle Rider or Rider Jacket or
gotcha.
Something.
Okay.
And I was like, this is cool, man. And I went into it was when I was in Portland up there, you know, talking yeah. to you. And I went into another store and a guy goes, he goes, oh yeah, good jacket. Yeah, the Ship John one's cool. And I go, oh yeah, I want one of those. I'm trying to get hold of him. He goes, yeah, it's not as boxy as that one.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I was like, he's right. This fucking thing's boxy. I came home, I put it on eBay right away.
Oh, you sold it?
Oh yeah, instantly. Cause it was boxy. Yeah. I don't like boxy square jackets, you know?
Yeah,
it was,
and that's, I mean, they hold on to that fit from long ago. And,
yeah.
I never did like the fit of those either, the Filson ones. I've had a handful throughout my working days and all that shit. But
right.
Yeah, the fit never worked with me that good.
So now the factory, you guys, where'd you find the factory at? In Portland somewhere?
I should hear back about the building hopefully by Monday.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
right in Portland.
You're still waiting to hear?
Yeah, dude. It's been trying to find commercial real estate right now. It's fucking crazy up there. So.
Oh yeah. Cause everybody wants to live in Portland now.
Yeah.
It's brutal. What's, you got a house or what do you rent?
I live in a like duplex, rent it.
Yeah. And what's your rent?
I pay $10.75 for two bedroom.
For what?
Two bedroom.
Oh, you had to have it from years ago or something, right?
It's a pretty good deal for Portland right now.
Yeah.
But I lived in this place for 3 years where I was paying $400 a month for a two bedroom.
What? In Portland?
Yeah.
What was that?
And in that time,
yeah.
it was in foreclosure and it was supposed to be short term, but it kind of just drug on.
Yeah.
And in that time was when shit like went crazy. So I was, before that, I paid like $575 and then $400 for, which is just insane. That's an unheard of price.
Yeah.
And in that time, rent went from what I had used to be paying to like double.
Yeah.
So over $1,000 to me was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Right.
Can't afford this, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm used to it.
Yeah. Cause you had the warehouse too. You were renting, right?
Yeah.
I love Portland.
Portland's a good town.
You landed up there and,
it was random that I landed there.
Why?
My wife and I were living in the Volkswagen van, just driving all over the country. You know, we're stopping here, stopping there.
Were just hippie in it?
Yeah, we're hippie in it.
Whoa, rad.
And, I had to meet somebody in Portland, more so in the hippie end. I got a job trimming weed in Humboldt and driving back. We drove back to Philly, got married, drove back, and we're meeting these guys in Humboldt, but they happened to be in Portland, so we, you know, went north a little bit.
Oh, you're just trimming?
Yeah, well, we were in Portland for a day, then we went down trimming and then got done with that. It was harvest, and let's go check out Portland again. So I went up there, and we were living in the parking lot on Division Street. That's not there anymore, and walked into Stumptown Coffee and I got a job there. I didn't even know what a latte was. I drank fucking truck stop coffee, you know. No idea. And walked in, you guys hiring? And that was the best introduction to Portland because I got to meet all kinds of bad people.
So you're living in a parking lot and you decide, fuck it, let's get a job and stay here. Your wife?
Just tried it out.
You got to have a pretty rad wife that wants to live in a fucking Volkswagen.
She's the best person I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
She's awesome. She got a job, I got a job, and then we.
So you're working, but you're living in the van still.
Yeah.
Where are you showering at?
For a little bit,
gym.
We went to a gym a couple times, and
you weren't showering.
I wasn't showering that much. Let's be honest here.
No shower, John. Yeah. That could have been your company, also.
we got jobs, and finally got an apartment with a shower and all that shit, and bathroom, toilet.
It's interesting how life is, right? You're just traveling around. You're just living hippie, which is, I totally, off the grid. Yeah. I respect that in a way of like, kind of cool. Like, you know, I have fantasies of that, you know?
It was fun, man. I would never take that back. That was an amazing time. And I busk, you know, I had my guitar with me, make $5-$10 and get a pizza or something like that. You know?
Oh, you're just out there playing music on the street corner?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the most I ever made was $20.
Really?
In one city.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
That was in Flagstaff, I think. Flagstaff, Arizona, made $20. Somebody gave me a $20 bill, and I was like, shit, we're eating good tonight. It was good.
How were you paying for gas and shit?
We had a credit card, and we had saved like $1,000 or something like that. So definitely put a lot of money on a credit card.
Wow. Pretty rad. So now here you are with this fucking full-on successful business. Let's go through a couple of the items. I absolutely worship the Whalen backpack.
Thanks,
You're still making that, right?
Yep. it kind of took a back seat to jackets for a little bit, but I'm trying to reintroduce it pretty soon.
Yeah, I need that for my podcast gear because I think it's just perfect for podcast equipment because I'm using that this vinyl Stones bag and it's going to start to fall apart.
Yeah,
love that. There's a there's a lock on it that's like a drawstring lock.
Yeah, it's a little wedge design that I had seen something kind of like it on an old like German military bag, but I saw it and then I could never find any other thing made like that. And
right.
I wanted to use that for the drawstrings in my bag. And so I just kind of designed my own version of it. It's solid brass. And I used to hand file every single one.
Yeah. How do you do it now?
I get the parts laser cut and I still do all the, everything myself and do the countersinking and I finish the edges in my shop. And
I love this bag. Let's talk a little bit about it now. They're sold out. They have a waiting list also, right?
Yeah.
So what do? You just do a run and people buy them. How much is that bag?
$575.
It's fucking great. Now, what's the brass things on the bottom for breathing?
Just so your pockets don't fill up with water.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
If it's raining.
God, it's so good. And then you also do like denim shirts now?
Yeah.
That are kind of like cowboy shirts?
Yeah, Western style a little bit. And
what kind of denim is that? Where are you getting the denim?
The one that is almost the run that's almost done now was Cone Mills.
Oh, they just closed.
Yeah.
Where's everybody going to get their denim now?
I'm kind of freaking out about it because they stopped making heavy denim a while ago and I can't use 14 ounce or anything like that. That's kind of like the heaviest they use. It just feels like shirt weight to me for a jacket.
Right. Jeans, yeah. So people can't get denim in Japan because is it like a kind of a red tape thing there where the denim people only sell to the people they're working with? Because like everybody like Jean Shop in New York used them. I think Roy used them.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in America that was making jeans here was using the Cone Mills.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a damn shame. I don't know the whole story of why they shut down.
I just got an email on it with a story, and I'm going to read about it because I think on Heddles they tell the whole story because it seems to me like somebody else would just buy it. I think this was the fourth owner, so there must not be that profitable.
Gotcha.
You get all the denim you need for a year, and then you're not keep buying it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like Horween in Chicago with leather where you always need leather. I think there's only so many pants being made by people by hand and the rest is just, you know, Indonesia.
And if you look at it, there's a lot of people making really great jeans, but the scale of it for a company like that, they need to sell like 10 thousands of yards.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Meet, I think. And you know, there might be a Roy Denim or a jean shop that's, you know, they're making a lot of jeans, but not to the scale.
Not like a million a month was what they need for a full factory and employees and everything. Yeah.
And they're
so where do you think people are going to get denim?
I'm probably going to start using a lot more Japanese stuff. I love the denim they make over there.
I love it.
Kuroki Mills. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful denim.
Yeah.
So probably a lot more of that. There's a
can you get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Steven has a lot of ties over there. So we
can, dope.
Yeah. We can get a lot of that stuff.
All right.
There's a mill opening it's already open in Sacramento, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Houston Mills. They're working out their denim right now. I'm going to try some of that.
Holy shit, I haven't even heard about that.
Yes.
And what is it, some like hipster dudes that opened something?
I don't think it's hipster. I think he was a military dude, actually.
Wow. And they got thick denim?
Yeah. Yeah, they're working out a 15, 16 ounce right now. That's all botanical dyed. It's pretty cool. All organic fabric.
What kind of dyed?
Botanical.
What's that?
Flowers and shit. I don't know exactly what flowers, but.
Oh, yeah, because Strykel was doing dye. Like a mud dye.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're doing some cool shit. I'm excited to start trying it out, at least testing it. I want to, you know, I like to wear things for
a
long time before I offer it.
That's going to be interesting to see. Let me know what I wonder if they got a website. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Houston, but without the O. H-U-S-T-O-N.
All right. I'm going to look that up. Now, so you also make a black jacket that's just like it, which is next for me, man. Wow.
I'll have to get you in one of those.
Yeah. And then you make a denim one, right?
Denim version. But
and then
denim ones are on hold because we can't find the right denim.
You ever going to make it in leather?
Well, I don't know if I should talk about it. Yeah, I can talk about this. Yeah. Langlitz and I are doing, Langlitz is making a leather Wills jacket pretty soon.
Whoa, man. That's the Delray right there.
Because the sample's getting made right now. I can't wait. I'm like giddy as a fucking, I just can't wait.
Can you, will you be able to get it in horsehide?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing the sample out of goat.
But, right.
You know, they're all going to be made to order. So.
Oh, I got to see it, dude. Yeah,
I can't wait, man.
And it's going to be exactly the same fit and everything?
We're doing we're keeping the zipper sleeve from a Langlitz. I want a little bit of Langlitz flavor in it.
Right. So
we sat down with one of these and a couple of their jackets and just, you know, we're keeping, like I said, their sleeve essentially on a body that's built like the Wills jacket with the pockets and shit like that. So
now will the sleeve be slim? Like, cause your sleeve is incredible. It's nice and slim.
Yeah.
Is my jacket a new pattern from the collaboration with Steve?
Yeah. Yeah. Steve and I developed, Steve did the actual.
Cause that fucking pattern, that jacket fit me. I mean, that's just incredible. The fit. Yeah. I'm just like, well, this is all I fucking need, you know, for it. So I would be a little leery if it was changed at all. Yep. You know what I mean?
No, it'll be a pretty similar fit. I tried on a couple of their, I can't remember what the model they have that is actually built pretty similar.
Have one, huh? That's like a kind of a Wills jacket already.
Different pocket setup.
Right.
And it doesn't have a collar. It's one of those short collars.
Yeah.
But it's easily translatable into the Wills jacket. So kind of using that as a starting point.
You're also doing a collaboration with Wesco on boots quite a bit, right?
Yeah, we got a couple new models coming out pretty soon.
And what are your inspirations on boots? What do you like in a boot that you think would, you know, like, okay, instead of just a standard Wesco, this is my Ship John version. What do you bring to the plate?
Well, the first one was a... I've been wearing cowboy boots for a long time. So I wanted something with a heel and I wanted veg tan boots.
Right.
That was the first one we did. I was like, we got to do these.
So this here?
Yeah. That was a leather that hasn't come out yet. I was just testing that one.
Well, that's kind of a natural leather that turns from oils and everything turns. I love that, you know? So what do you, so are you making like a, you got some new versions of West Coast coming
out?
Yeah,
we're doing an engineer boot that's like a brown and then a brown rough out combo. So now it's just like Chris and I will just shoot shit and pick out cool leathers and make stuff happen, you know?
Yeah, it's so great.
It's just cool to, you know, anybody can build a custom West Coast, but it's cool to think of how I'd like one, like to see one and just show it to the people and say, you can get this one now. Check this out.
Right.
You know, it works out great. I respect the hell out of that company.
Now you had a killer work with them. You had a killer benefit that I was supposed to do, but I couldn't do it because I was in New York. But Lanigan did it. Mark Lanigan, one of our favorite humans on the planet. Yeah, let's talk a little bit that you had a concert at your shop. And Lanigan played it. How fucking rad is that?
It was awesome, man. It was one of the best.
How many people were there, and what was the benefit for?
It was Southern Poverty Law Center, but that weekend the hurricane happened in Houston, so I ended up splitting it right in half and sending a bunch of money down to the Houston Food Bank to help the folks down there.
Rad.
I just like, you know, I've done a lot of those shows and had great people play. I don't want to make money off of it. I'd rather gather people together for a good time and raise money for something good.
Yeah.
I've done, like, in the past, ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center and a couple other things. But that one was extra special because it was, like, four generations of Pacific Northwest music. Chris Newman, Michael Hurley. I don't know if you – do you know Michael Hurley?
No, but I'm looking at the picture here. Does he play sax?
No, that's his buddy. Michael Hurley's an old folk songwriter.
Oh, gotcha.
And then Bliss and Trapper, who's a newer band out of... they've been around for like a decade. But,
right.
You know, in this lineup, they were like the new generation. And then Lanigan and Michael Hurley, Chris Newman. It was a cool show, cool setup.
And how many people were there?
About 100 people.
Wow.
I had to limit it.
I think what we should do is when you get the new shop going... Let's just do, when you do a grand opening or whatever, an open house, let's have a comedy show.
That'd be killer, man.
I'll fly up, do it, stay at your house or whatever, and then fly home, you know, the next day. But come up and do a full-on night, you know?
That'd be great.
Because I love the thought of doing shows. You know, everybody's like, yeah, do some shows in rock clubs, but how about in places like your factory and shit like that, you know, where
that's
people...
That's the beautiful thing about having...
Because it's an event and people go.
Yeah, and people, you know, I'm lucky to have a beautiful building and people just look around and they're seeing Mark Lanigan in this weird fucking shop where some guy makes leather stuff.
Are you giving that joint up?
I'm going to hold on to it for a little bit. But yeah, I'm giving it up essentially. I'm pretty sad about it. I love that building.
Yeah, it's so cool. The look of it, you know, it just the look of your shop now. And you guys can go on his Instagram and see all this stuff we're talking about. It's just incredible. His Instagram is Ship John. And look at his shop and look at everything that he does. Now, you got a lot of the denim shirts. Those are out right now. You can just buy those.
No, they were all pre-orders. So all the ones in that picture are for customers. But I'm launching a black denim shirt when I got on, actually. Pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's nice.
This is a Cone Mills Broken Twill. I think it's like a 12 ounce or something like that. So this
and how much are the, let's go through the prices real quick. The jacket is how much?
$475. And it's
$475 for the jacket.
Yeah.
God damn, that's a deal. I'm telling you, that thing is fucking gold, man. It's like,
I come from a when I price stuff, you know, you have to price it at a certain amount, but I still try to keep it low enough to where it's accessible for people.
Right.
You know, everyone always tells me, there's so many people interested, you got to charge more for it. I'm like, no, then why would I do that? You know?
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
Then my buddy can't buy it. You know,
I think $600 is fair on it.
It could be.
I mean,
there,
I see what's out there.
Yeah.
$400 is rack stuff.
Yeah.
Normal, you know, stuff rack. Yeah. Couple hundred more. You got something that other people don't have,
but we do good on at the price. We make money, and
well,
I don't want to charge people money just because I can, you know.
Oh, no, I get it. I'm not saying rob the people. I'm just saying I know how much fucking work goes into this shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always love when someone goes like, you know, I can't believe you spent like $300 on those pants. And it's like, yeah, but I got one pair.
Yeah.
It's going to last me five fucking years, even longer if I want to just keep getting them fucking fixed.
Yeah.
You're going to buy 10 $100 pairs or $80 pairs, and they're going to fall apart. Yeah. They're made in China, and they're just garbage.
What?
And my closet, it's just clean.
Yeah.
Here it is. a real McCoy's Bucco jacket, your jacket, some denim and some Ironheart flannels, and I've got
rad t-shirts.
and a bunch of rad t-shirts, and I got clothes for life.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a resurgence of people realizing that right now.
Yeah.
Not even in the like the inspiration denim world, like just normal people who don't care about the fashion end of it, who just want stuff that's going to hold up.
Right.
Know? And people are starting to realize that, you know, I could spend, like you said, $80 on 10 pairs of jeans, or I could just buy this one amazing product that's going to hold up for a long time. And
you know, people... They don't understand when you wear something nice and well-made, people come up to you like, look, they came up to you on your jacket and they're like, hey man, that shit looks great. Or you look great. Or where do I get that stuff? You know, it's a different world.
I get
more
comments like at the grocery store, you know, the lady checking me out or the guy checking me out will be like, where'd you get that jacket? And I'm usually pretty sheepish about it. Yeah. Like, oh, it's shipped. I'll just tell them the name or say, oh, I make these, you know, and try to.
Yeah.
I never try.
People ask me, and it's like, if I know they're just surface talking, I don't even bother because it's like, you know, if somebody goes, hey, where'd you get that jacket? I go, my friend made it.
Yeah.
And then if they go, whoa, really? Like, what's that about? Then I get into it. Yeah, but if they go, oh, yeah, cool, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's such a. Because I'm going to tell them, they're going to go on the website, then they can't get it.
Can't have it.
Which, by the way, that's what I loved about having you on. This is in no way at all some kind of advertisement or anything, because you can't get what I'm talking about.
I don't want any more advertisement.
Right, right. But that was funny when I first talked to you. I go, man, it's gonna be great for your business. You're like, I don't need any more business. That's a funny thing to hear, right?
Yeah.
God.
It's a great problem. Like where I'm, it's no complaints, but it's also, it's hard to like, we need to build a factory to
right.
keep up with this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited about it, man. I'm
excited for you
my
too.
Dream, you know, it's, I get to own my own business and make shit every day. I use my hands all the time.
It's so great, dude. I mean, you just think about like randomly, that's how I love about life, you know, randomly you're just driving around America and it just figuring out your life in a Volkswagen bus or whatever, trimming buds, you know, serving coffee or whatever. Yeah. And now look, you got your own business. Yeah, how long have you been in business?
I'd say I started selling wallets to buddies probably 8 or 9 years ago or something like that.
So about as long as I've been doing comedy.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
And then, you know, like I told you earlier, I was working other jobs. I've been just doing this, as a full-time job for about 3 years, I think. Right. Now.
It's just like comedy.
Yeah.
I was doing comedy 8 solid years, but I'm selling motorcycles and
shit.
Yeah,
you work at the Harley shop, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, eventually you're like, well, I do comedy for a living, which makes it crazy scary because, like, look, I didn't go on the last 3 nights and I'm shitting my pants, you know, like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah,
but I'm happier than ever, you know what I mean?
That's
and I'm glad you found what you love, and I can't wait to see some of the other products you got coming out. And if somebody wanted to buy something from you, what is available now? Wallets or something?
Yeah, everything's made to order. I don't usually stock a lot of stuff.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of wallet designs on there.
Hats.
Hats. I got more hats coming right
beanies.
Now. They should be done.
Loving the beanies.
The beanies sold out. Dean made me a special run of them, and they all went.
Fuck. And then the bags, like I said, I love the bag.
I'm going to open that up pretty soon. I got a couple of customers been waiting forever and finishing those up. I don't like to stack too many things on top.
Right.
Know? So after I make these bags, I'll open it up to maybe 5 more or something like that.
And no threat to the factory in Jersey that's making the wax cloth, right? They're up and booming.
I hope not.
I know. Yeah. Do they?
I haven't heard any.
Have you seen any other colors in there? Like
they
like army green.
Yeah, they do have a darker green.
Ooh,
I gotta dig into what they have right now. It's kind of hard for us to introduce other colors.
I gotcha.
We don't.
But
have
I think
a lot of
one
family.
Other third one, man, an army green, like an M65 field coat.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because that's kind of a vibe of what the jacket is, also.
For sure.
So if it was the army green, you know, ooh, fuck.
I got a lot of interest in black ones. I think that'll be the next step. A lot of people want a black one.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for black because, man, it looks great in black. And is it dark black?
Well, it kind of has like a. With the wax on there, it kind of gives it like a sheen of a little bit lighter black. It's
right.
almost like a
gray.
It's not
right.
pure as black gets. The
right.
Kroki black ones we made with Josh.
Well, that's denim.
That was black.
Right.
It's like fully black. We did a good art version of that.
Are those gone? I never even saw one.
They went away real quick.
Well, how many were there?
I think we did 12 or something like that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Gone.
They were expensive.
Oh, yeah. How much were they?
What did we charge? $1,500.
Yeah. Well, denim had all the silver snaps
silver
and everything.
Snaps,
yeah. That's sick. And
I was pleased to do that with Josh. It was really cool.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
So are you, man. I can't thank you enough, and I'm glad that we met.
Totally. Me too.
And I'm looking forward to doing comedy in your new factory.
Please come up.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what you make here, and also seeing how my jacket just... you know, turns out. How do I re-wax it? It's so hard with the hair dryer and all that.
Dude, I'm working on. There's this company. We're early in talks, but I'm working on my own cream, like a heart. I don't like the like rub it on there with a.
It's crazy, right?
So I'm working on developing a whole new thing to do that.
Really?
Cream, yeah. Hopefully, have it done sometime this year. But
Have you tried stuff yourself?
Yeah, I've used Otter Wax. They make that up in Portland. That stuff works pretty good.
Oh, that stuff smells good, too.
Yeah, it's beeswax.
It smells like almost it was in a fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Well, that's a great smell.
Yeah, that stuff's good. As of right now, that'd be my recommendation.
And does that wipe on, or you got to heat it up?
Heat that stuff up.
Yeah, because I got some Berber wax.
Yeah.
For the Berber jackets. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to heat it up and use like a heat gun and then get it on like evenly. I'd rather pay someone to do it.
Well, that's the thing. I want to offer that as a service down the line too. You can send your jacket back in and we'll do you up. And
I believe in that.
I want to do that down the road. There's a lot of things I want to do down the road.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, man, for doing this show. Do you have any music online or anything?
Yeah, Denver the band. You can look it up on, it's on Spotify.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Thanks. Check them out. Ship John on Instagram and support them. Anyway, I don't know how you can. And maybe get on a waiting list and check out his photos. There's some incredible photos on his Instagram of all the stuff he made. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Keep the candles lit, handmade right here on Let There Be Talk.